Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician. This is blah, 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 blah. Where are you, Drew?
I'm in Washington, D.C.
Fantastic.
Our nation's capital.
What's going on over there?
I did an interview today for Discovery Health Channel on a guy who broke his penis.
What happened?
He was having sex with his wife, and he was in missionary, of all things. Slipped out, came back in. They both heard this loud crack, and they both stopped. Like, hey, what the hell is that? He had no pain. He couldn't figure out what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
He went in the bathroom, and there his penis looks like a hockey stick.
Wow.
And then he still, his wife was a nurse. Said, oh my God, you got to go to the hospital. And he's like, you know how guys are. No big deal. No, just relax. Then what happens is, you know, there's two cavernous corpus bodies in your penis, and when they rip, all the blood that you deflate because there's nothing to hold it anymore. You know, it doesn't hold the blood, and then all the blood starts getting into the soft tissue, and so his whole penis started swelling and swelling and swelling, and became this giant black mass, and that's when he decided to go to the hospital.
You could do worse than a giant black mass in your underpants, Drew. I gotta be honest, it wasn't hard.
It was just like a big mushroom.
Well, when the guys get really big, they have trouble getting erection. I learned that from porn.
But that whole, I know.
But really, it's the only thing that helps me sleep at night. The guys have sort of novel size.
Yeah.
Hey, it gets unwieldy. And then the thing that's funny is they have to use it like a road flare where they whack it against something. It gets hard for a few minutes. They have to actually smack it on something a couple of times, like one of those Pillsbury rolls or something.
So it pops.
Yeah, I don't know what happens, but if they pull it out and whack it against something, usually an ass cheek, for a couple of beats, it snaps into line, and they get a few more pumps out of it.
But then they have to kind of stuff it in because it doesn't go all the way in.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. It's like it can't. Mine won't fold in the middle.
No.
You know, I'll never break my penis because it's like trying to break a pencil that's been sharpened several hundred times and there's nothing but a nub. You know what I mean? I don't care. The strongest man in the world can't break that pencil in half.
Yes.
It's only an inch long. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You'll cut yourself before that pencil will break.
That's right.
Yeah.
This guy rushed off. Here's the comedy. He stops by to at his relative's house and goes, "Hey, please watch the dogs in the house. We're going to the hospital." And the guy goes, "Well, why are you going to the hospital?" And he goes, "Well, I broke my penis." What would your friends? Well, what would Chris or Ray do if you told them that?
They would actually. You think they would laugh, but they wouldn't. Well, they would kick you. They would kick you in the nuts.
This guy laughed
and then
laughed his ass off until the guy whipped out his black
joint?
Penis. Yeah, his little black member.
Yeah.
Then the guy bent over in pain and started whimpering.
Well, did he finish with his wife?
No, that was my question too. Did you try to? You know, if you weren't going to the hospital, did you try to go back? No. They both decided it was too weird at that point.
Okay. And by the way, this is a passionate man because, you know, that doesn't just slip out and try to slip back in. That is a world-class pounding he was giving her. I mean, I'm sure you had the couth to steer clear of the RPM subject, but
absolutely.
He must have been going at it hard and heavy in order
absolutely.
To do that kind of damage.
Yes, this was a hydraulic operation. He mentioned that, in fact. Because usually it's female superior that does that. You know what I'm saying? It's somebody's going
when
at it.
When you're effing a nun?
No, not.
I don't know what that is.
Not mother superior, but female on top.
Well, okay. All right. Well, you should just say that.
All right.
So when the woman's on top, she's bouncing up and down and comes down a little bit out of whack, right?
Right, yeah.
So he must have just been going to town, in other words.
Yeah.
And she's lucky she wasn't hurt.
Yeah.
No, I mean that's there's nothing, there's no area down there for a woman that isn't sensitive once you miss.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, the penis gave first.
All right. Yeah. All right. Yeah, it's a lot of woman.
Yeah.
All right, so you're in DC. Where are you? Where are you broadcasting?
CBS, Westwood One.
Does
it sound okay?
Sounds fine.
Okay.
All right. All right. Let's take a call, and then I'll do a little saw thing. Okay. Sarah?
Hello?
18?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, well, I've been with about four guys total since I lost my virginity, and, like, every time, like, the LCO, I last long, whatever, and, like, every guy I get with this, like, go almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, a couple nights ago, I was with who was my first, and we kind of got back together, but it's not a relationship or anything. I'm like, he went before we did anything. I'm starting to think maybe it's something to do with me, because they're always like, oh, that's never happened to me so fast.
Yeah. They always say, well, what could it be to do with you? And if it was, it would all be flattering, right?
I don't know, because it kind of sucks for me, because I get nothing out of it.
Yeah. You get nothing out of it.
It's like so quick. It's like, it was all fun for you and not for me.
Do they give you oral sex?
No.
No. And are they are you attractive?
Yeah.
All right. Sounds like I'm talking to Eartha Kitt.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, Drew.
Yes.
Riddle me this, since we're on our Batman metaphors. Super smoking hot chick. You think the guys go faster with a super smoking hot chick versus just a medium chick? You know what I mean? Is there a correlation between how the girl looks?
I think it depends on the guy. I think some guys get so freaked out or so excited that they can't, or that it delays, or they lose their erection or something.
Because a woman's so beautiful, it's intimidating.
Right.
Right.
It makes them nervous. The passionate guy, it'll be too quick. It'll be quicker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's how you are, right?
Right.
I mean, it wouldn't matter how beautiful a woman was.
No,
Liz Taylor from the 50s. Well, I mean, it would just speed you up. You wouldn't be intimidated.
No intimidation. No.
I mean, for a man of passion, it's like someone bringing a beautiful slice of prime rib and you saying, well, this is too beautiful to consume.
Right. It's like you're a wine expert and they think, no, this wine can't be drunk. No, I can't handle this.
You would drink that much more, that much faster.
And you'd appreciate it as the way an expert would.
Easy. Okay. Okay. Scaring me now, Drew.
Okay, sure.
Really wound up. All right. So it's got nothing to do with her. She's a hot chick. She's hooking up with 18-year-old guys. They're excited. She got a bad run. That's the other thing, too, everybody. Everything sort of comes out in the wash, but if you're just going to go, it's like anybody could flip a coin three times. It could land on heads or tails all three times, and then you could put the coin away and announce, every time I flip a coin, it lands on tails. And in your mind, that's the way it would be. But we know that if you kept flipping the coin, it would even out.
The way of describing that...
Go ahead.
...is that random events segregate non-randomly. In fact, one of the ways that you test to see if you're really getting a random sampling, say, is things have to come in series. There has to be a certain number of series.
Right. You flip a coin 100 times, it's not going to be heads, tails, heads, tails, heads, tails. There's going to be a bunch of times when it's heads 5-6 times in a row. And if she's been with four guys. So she's flipped the coin four times and it's landed on heads. Maybe she'd done a little more of that.
Yeah.
It would work out okay. But the point is she's now announced that every time I flip the coin, this is how it lands. She just needs to hook up with a couple different guys.
But every time I hear a young girl talk about this, I wonder if that she is expecting to be able to achieve an orgasm with intercourse and blames the fact that she's not on the guys.
Well,
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's elements of that. He's not satisfying me or I'm not enjoying myself.
Right.
All right. What she needs to do, we don't give this advice to women too much. We give it to guys a lot. Hook up with one person and work it out. Break them in. You lost your virginity, then you bounced around for a few guys. Find one guy, work it out. And that's that person. It's been a while since we had this discussion, but that person you break things in with, that's usually the first person you shower with. Mm. Remember that, Drew?
Mm-hmm.
Remember taking a shower with a woman for the first time?
No.
I know. Back, I don't think they had. Did they have showers or you just.
It was a bucket
water
you pulled over your head.
It was, with a rope?
Yeah. You just pulled a bucket over your head.
It would just spill on you? Yeah.
Right.
Like the old West. Yeah, yeah. The thing is people will have their flings. They'll have their little liaisons and whatnot. But you get that one person. And that's that person you walk around naked with during the day. That's the person you take the shower with. Oftentimes the anal person. That's true. That's where you get it. That's where you work it out. That's where you try it out. That's where you you really get to work out all the bugs out of your junk. That's the person. And she needs that person. Yes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, let me give a little plug to Saw, the DVD. Very scary movie, by the way. It is out on DVD, and what we're going to do stars Danny Glover and Cary Elwes and many other people who get cut into pieces. We are going to give out one of these to everyone who calls the show and gets on the air and who is over 18 years of age. So if you call in tonight, we're going to give you that Saw DVD. And then you are entered in a drawing, and I don't know who's going to draw this, but you get to go to Derbyshire, England, and go to the go to a heavy metal concert called Bloodstock. Yeah.
Cool.
Bunch of fat chicks on their period. It's awesome.
What?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's Bloodstock. Yeah. Indigo Girls are going to be there. They're all, there's a Go-Go's reunion. It's going to be awesome. It's only women, and it was tough to time it, Drew, because they only had to have acts that were on, you know, on their period that time of the month. But they got it's going to be great. Yeah.
Okay, if you say so.
That's how it works. All right, let's talk to Whitney. Whitney's 27. Whitney?
Hi.
What's happening?
My question was, what was the fastest way to figure out if you're gay, straight, or bisexual?
You're a lesbian.
Well,
if you like having sex with people of the same sex, that would make you gay.
There's also a water displacement test that we could do on you, but it's messier. It's more accurate than you having sex with people of the same gender.
It's not really water displacement. Okay. You actually tie them up and throw them in a well with a weight.
Right.
And if they sink.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. I cut her off just so you could finish your dopey thought.
It's all right. It's all right.
All right. All right. Go ahead, Whitney.
Okay. I've been listening to the show for a long time, but recently for the last 3 days. And I would just like, you know, I know I respect and value the show. I think that you bring a lot of good advice to the people. And I'm really serious about my question. And I already know, but I haven't been able to contact, every time I call hotlines with this kind of issue, they're either not there or they're busy. And I'm pretty well aware, you know, about...
Well, you're not being clear what the issue is. That's why we're being light about it. What is the issue?
Well, it's just that I've had feelings for men and women, but I can't...
How old are you?
I'm 27.
Were you sexually abused when you were growing up?
No.
Were you physically abused?
No.
Have you always had these feelings, or did they suddenly develop at 27?
I had a vision when I was, I don't know, 16.
What do you mean a vision?
Like I saw myself kissing a girl as I was talking to her. So it was like a dream come true, sort of, or like a fantasy, but it was just really happened as I was talking to her.
All right. Hey, Whitney.
That's a psychiatric problem. That's not a sexual identity issue.
You sound kind of spacey. What's going on with you?
I have a little cold right now.
No. I don't mean your tone. I'm talking about what's coming out of your mouth, not how it's coming out. What's going on? Crystals? You're into feng shui? What are you into? What's your religion? What's going on?
If you had a hallucination... That is a major psychiatric symptom.
No, she didn't. She's had a thought. She called it a vision to give it a little extra weight. That's all.
Yeah, I really saw it. Okay, I don't want to.
All right, who cares? What do you do for a living?
I do some sales and marketing.
Mm-hmm. And
what do you mean?
Who cares? You into Wicca?
No.
What are you? What's your religion?
I'm not religious.
All right. You just sound a little spacey, a little flighty. You into reincarnation?
No.
All right, no beliefs.
What?
Okay. I'm just checking. You know, she's okay. Let me just say something. There are these women out there. There are guys out there this way too, but mostly women. They're spacey. They're breathy, and they like Stevie Nicks. You know,
yeah,
they're into like gypsies
like more than
and
that.
Yeah, well, she seems a little confused, a little damaged. She's 27. You should be able to figure this out. But then what about this, Drew? What about just the percentage of people on this planet that have never really figured out how to be a human being or how to get along on this planet? They're a little bit confused. Yes. They're never quite sure what's going on.
Right.
Things are sort of done to them. You know what I mean?
You're right. Those are personality disorders when they can't take responsibility for anything. Or cognitive problems, developmental problems.
All right.
Where they can't reason properly.
Don't you guys want to really, it doesn't sound like you're really wanting to give advice.
Well, it's hard to give advice to somebody who's 27 and doesn't know if she likes guys or girls. I don't know what to say to that.
And you've mentioned a hallucination, so we're trying to go down the path to direct you where you might get some more appropriate treatment. Clearly, this isn't a sexual identity issue.
Yeah, we don't want to waste our breath on that. I mean, that'll solve itself. If you're into girls, go have a relationship with a woman. You're in a guy's, have a relationship with a guy.
Yeah.
But your confusion at 27 is what's troubling, and your complete lack of ability to sort of track and understand and, you know, sort of a reason about these things, that's what's disturbing us.
Yeah. All right.
What would you like to know?
Are you a Mormon?
No.
No, not a Mormon.
I'm not Mormon. I do come from, I have a circle of friends that are religious.
Mm-hmm.
But,
Well, what do you believe happens to you after you die?
I don't have any beliefs about that.
All right. And have you ever been with a woman?
No.
No.
I just have a problem with that. I don't.
Do you have stable relationships with men?
Yeah.
You do.
What's your longest relationship?
3-4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And is there one? Are you having one now?
Yes.
And so you're just attracted to women?
Yeah. What's wrong with the relationship you're having now? Is there a problem?
You could say it's not all that sexual.
All right. Well, maybe this guy's not floating your boat. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's
what we're talking about. That's why we're having trouble answering your questions. You're being evasive. Come on, just tell us.
I don't know. Whitney, you're just a pain in the ass. Here's the thing. Who cares? You're not into the guy you're with. That's fine. That doesn't mean you like the opposite sex. Maybe you just need a guy who's going to flip your cookie. Why don't you look into
that? Maybe you are
the
opposite sex, but you need a real relationship. This sounds like a dead end, this one you're in, and you need another one to go out.
Now I'm getting angry, so there must be something going on.
Yeah, of course.
Where's your dad, Whitney?
My parents are happily married ever after.
Uh-huh. And everything's good with you and Pops?
Very good.
Mom treated you right?
Very good.
Where do they live?
In the same area.
All right. And no problem.
There's a very strong bogus quality about all this.
No,
it's not
fitting
together.
It's not bogus.
All right. Well, it should. If it was bogus, it'd be more entertaining because you'd actually have a question. You're 27. How about a little therapy? You can't figure out. You're 27 years of age. Can't figure out whether you like vagina or penis. How about some therapy?
You know what the therapists do? They listen to you. They don't give you advice.
Yeah, I know. You keep wanting everyone to tell you what to do like you're calling the goddamn homework hotline.
That's not how it works.
You can't call with these sort of cosmic problems and have somebody solve it over the phone in four minutes.
That's not what therapy is, ever. That's not how mental health works. That's not how you grow.
Listen, I'll tell you what. Whitney, do me a favor. Go through life like one of those remote control vacuums that just wanders around an apartment. And every time it bangs into something, it changes direction. And then it goes until it bangs into something else. That's it. Then eventually it runs out of batteries and the dog humps it. That's your life, everybody. That's you. Just keep going in a straight line, bump into something, change trajectory, and go in a straight line for a little while further until you bump into something else.
And keep blaming the things you bump into.
And always blame whatever you bump into. Look, here's the thing, everybody. I know it sounds pompous. I don't care. You know me. I know I'm a genius. We do this show. We hear people. We hear voices. Seeing people doesn't help you. Hearing them helps you. We can hear what's in their voice. We can hear how things are phrased. We can tell whether they're angry. We can tell whether they're smart, stupid, high, drunk, victims of abuse. It all comes through. Whitney, we both responded to her voice. Did we not, Drew?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
There's something going on with her.
Or we're being put on.
Who cares?
Still keeps a strong current of that.
She needs therapy if that's the way she really is. And if that's a bogus call, she needs therapy for coming up with such a boring, bogus call.
There you go.
Either way, therapy. All right.
Yeah. Needs some assistance, some, because calling hotlines, calling radio shows is not going to solve her problems.
All right. That goes for all of you who may call this show for any reason. Lacey?
Yeah.
Anyway, she has a question about her ovaries. See, Jill.
What's wrong with that? Nice, clear question we can handle.
Jill.
Hello?
Wow. I like that name, Jill. You don't hear Jill anymore. Where's all the Jills, Drew?
I know. They were all around when I was a kid.
Yeah, I used to remember Jills, too. There's no Jills anymore. Thank you, Jill. Thank you for being named Jill.
Anytime.
It's a good, solid name. And you know what? It's kind of a foxy name. And it's a dark-haired foxy name, too. It's not a blonde fox name. It isn't. It's Jennifer. It's a darker-haired name. But it's a good name. What do you look like, Jill? Dark-haired and foxy?
Light brown.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's not black hair. It's you know what Jill is? Jill looks like Lori from the Partridge Family.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you look like, Jill?
I'm brown hair, blue eyes.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What else?
Can I ask my question?
Are you a big gal?
Oh, my God, don't do this to me. Can I ask my question, please?
Are you a big gal?
No.
No? How much do you weigh? How much?
You're fat.
Drew, please. How much do you weigh?
125.
Oh, 125? All right. What's the problem?
Are you a Mormon? Checking.
Sorry?
All right, all right, Jill. What's the big deal? I want to know if my name. I got to trust my names. That's all.
Okay.
Just want to make sure you look like a Jill. What's your question?
Okay, so I called a couple days ago, and I guess I was kind of incoherent, and you guys decided I was bogus and hung up on me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm calling back because I still kind of need my question answered, and I wanted to tell you that, like. The reason that I was, like, so incoherent is because I was so overwhelmed and because I love you guys so much. And seriously, you guys occupy this, like, distant, mystical status in my life. And I seriously would never have graduated middle school if I hadn't listened to your show. Hello?
Thanks, sweetie.
That is very kind. Adam, you're a unicorn.
Yes, I'm mystical. And you're a Pegasus.
No. No, really. I'm serious.
Let me say this too about a Pegasus.
Oh,
it's a flying. Well, hold on a second. It's a flying horse, right?
Yeah.
Horses crap all the time. Can you imagine? I mean, you know, a pigeon size of a coffee mug, right?
Bad
I mean,
enough.
Pigeons aren't very big. That thing hits your windshield. It's a catastrophe. Imagine
right.
a 1,400-pound horse flying around up there.
Oh.
You know, 14,000 feet, big old. Ass nugget comes flying out. They hit the ground, put a hole in you. Take a car
Absolutely.
Out. I mean,
oh,
you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know,
it won't be with a single nugget either. It rains.
No, it would probably if it hit you, it'd probably dislocate your shoulder, a compound fractures, knocking you down to the ground, busting. I mean, look, you gotta look at you know hail. And this golf ball size hail falls, it causes punches out windshields, puts holes in roofs. You know, imagine a big horse apple. You know what I mean? they never cover that when they talk about the Pegasus. And,
no,
you know, think about a horse, too. Horse would not wait till it lands to crap. If I could fly, I would only crap when I was in the air. That'd be my policy, well, wouldn't it? But yours, right?
Yeah, horses only crap when they walk and move, so why should it be when they fly? But
right.
You know something?
Horse would weigh, yeah, yeah. I'm just saying horses will wait all year for a parade so they can crap the entire parade. You know what I mean? So this Pegasus would definitely be crapping on the fly. Go ahead.
Myth and poo don't ever seem to go together.
Yeah, no one covers that. Only we have the kind of show that has the guts to deal with a Pegasus crapping. You know?
I know.
It'd be a disaster. And imagine how angry, like, you're angry when your neighbor lets the dog crap on your lawn, right? Imagine if, like, I don't know, Zeus or Hercules or whoever, you know, rode a Pegasus, is flying around, all of a sudden Pegasus just crapping on your car. So Hercules, you know, he flies by, he's like, Mount Olympus! And it hits your car in your driveway. You'd be like, hey, Herc, hey, buddy, what are we going to do here? We got to make this right. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. They probably have to have some sort of bag that's made for a Pegasus that would catch it. You know, I would imagine like the, I don't know if the FAA would get involved with this. Certainly it'd be regulations.
We'd all gang up on this one. We'd all get into it.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, FAA makes sense, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Where are we going here, Drew?
Jill.
Well, all right. Can we answer some calls, please? Well, okay, Jill.
Hey.
Hold on. It was Drew's fault for bringing something up and reminding me of something else. Hold on a second. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And the last time you called, you said you were so nervous that we thought you were drunk?
Yeah. I was so disoriented.
All right. Well, you're composed tonight, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on a second.
Okay.
All right. Dr. Drew over there in Washington, D.C. I'm out here in Los Angeles. I'll get to the bottom of this whole Pegasus thing, Drew. I'll tell you that right now. We'll come back. We'll speak to Jill after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Producer Anna agreed with me that Jill was a hot chick name, but understated, not snobby, just good looking. All right,
did
Anderson,
you work out the Pegasus poo?
Oh, true, yeah. Your line's crappy, brother, man.
Uh-oh.
Any better now?
What? A delay or just sounds bad?
Just sounds bad. Washington, D.C. is where Dr. Drew is. Out making a buck while the Ace Man holds down the fort and comes up with gems like Pegasus crap. When we...
Yeah.
Yeah, when we left off, we were speaking to Jill, who called a few days back and then says we hung up on her because she was too effed up, but she wasn't effed up. She was just verklempt because she was talking to her great idols, Adam and Drew. Jill?
Yeah.
But now you have your composure.
Uh-huh.
So go right ahead.
Okay. So my problem is that there's this guy that I'm involved with, mm-hmm. and we just started having sex a week ago. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that he totally can't keep it up, like ever.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, like
this is what you were calling us about last week.
Uh huh. It was a couple days.
And you couldn't spit this out.
Well,
I guess not.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, you seem so nice and clear tonight. That's I'm surprised. I mean, it's
ironically, I can barely hear you say that, Drew.
Oh, great.
All right, here's the thing. Drew, take a chill pill and let the Ace Man do the driving here. Okay, and see
hold on one second. Just, I want to make sure you hear me. Do you hear me?
Yeah, I do hear you, yeah.
Is it better?
It is, but it comes in and out. Why don't you
in and out. I'll chill.
Sing the dreidel song, would you please? Let's see how
dreidel,
it works.
Dreidel, dreidel, dreidel.
Well, start it from the beginning. Can you start from the beginning? Start from the beginning.
How's the beginning go?
Come on.
Chill.
I had a little dreidel.
I made it out of clay. I had a little dreidel. I made it out of clay. And when I tried to spin it...
What the hell kind of half-Jew are you?
It's a goy song.
It is?
Yeah.
That's a Jew song. They're singing about a dreidel. It's not crouton, crouton, crouton. It's a dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
All right. Croutons, not as popular as they used to be, right?
Right.
Okay.
I hate him.
All right, quiet down. So here's the thing. This guy has this problem. That's fine. There's not a whole lot we can do to change him, and there's not a whole lot you can do to change him, Jill. What you can do is get him to give you a little oral sex, see if we can coax an orgasm out of you. How about that?
You mean, really, there's nothing that can be done?
Well, the only thing that can be done is that you guys, you know, have a consistent, steady, monogamous relationship. He finds his comfort zone, and you guys sort of see what he's at, minus... Jill, remember when you called the show a few days ago and you could barely spit out your question because you were so agitated and excited?
Yeah.
That's not a good way to sort of judge your question-asking ability because your nerves were in hyperdrive. This guy is nervous, and it's tough to judge his sexual ability because of this. You have to stay with him long enough for him to sort of settle down. Then you can see what you have.
I see.
All right, but... he can give you a little oral sex, and, you know, that might do the trick. Does he do any of that for you?
Well, it's only been a week, and I'm on my period.
Right. Wait a minute. You've only been with him a week?
We've only been doing it for a week.
All right. Well, let it settle in,
work it out. Yeah. Relax here. And encourage him to maybe take a bullet out of the chamber before you guys get together, as Adam would say. Maybe ejaculate before the action.
If you really think about it, Drew, the people that are successful with women, job interviews, auditions, whatever it is, I don't know if they're more skilled at the actual job, whether it's acting, right, computer, you know, data entry, or being a better boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever. They're just better and calmer and more composed during the interview process.
That's right.
And you show me a guy who can show up on the first date, somebody who interviews well, somebody who auditions well, I'll show you a successful person, and who knows all the people they sent packing just because they didn't put their best foot forward when they only had a chance to take a step or two before you judge them.
It's true. Anxiety screws everything up.
Right. So you're getting all freaked out about this guy. You don't know what he can do yet. Give it a couple of weeks. Give it a couple of outings. Let him get comfortable in his new vaginal surroundings, and then call us back and tell us.
And by the way, putting the heat on him like that is not the way to do it. You know what I mean? I'm sure like you can't fix this. You got to do something about this. It's like that's the guy's going to freak out. His penis is going to run away.
Right.
No, forget it. Right. You got to just kind of ease into it.
Drew, do you really think? And I'm really the older I get, the more I just sort of realize you got the hand that was dealt to you. Do you really think you can do anything about much of anything? You know, I mean, here's the deal. Here's what I'm saying. Let me say this.
Get born and die.
Well, here's what I'm saying. If you're one of these people that just gets sweats profusely from the armpits, you get big stains on your shirts, you know, when in situations where you're playing basketball or job interviews or whatever. Do you think that degree that turns up the body heat index and protects you more when things get? Do you think that does anything? If you pit
it
out,
it does. But if you really have a bad time,
it doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
You pit out. You pit out. That's it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean you're bad or nervous. It just means that's you. And is there anything you can do short of going under the knife?
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if you have a situation with weight that's been there since, your third birthday and so on and so forth, unless you're going to start talking about going under the knife or dramatic procedures, you're going to be fat like your nose is going to be big.
Well, but here's
Adam.
Nothing
we're going to do.
Here's where it gets interesting, though. If your personality has been a certain way, is that also going to be like your body type and not really change that much?
That, hopefully, I can fix with a steady diet of ridicule when you call this show. But if you're a guy who, whose nut pops 2 minutes into the act, are you really going to change? Are you really going to affect that?
You're, again, my thing is you got to learn how to work with it. He's got to figure it out for himself. He needs to figure out when to start, how many bolts stick out of the chamber, how to get the oral thing going so he doesn't, you know,
right.
use up his time in intercourse. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's his timing. Now work with it.
Right. All right. All right. I'm just saying, the more I look around, the more I realize things. I don't think when you orgasm is all that much different than the color of your eyes. I really don't.
Oh, no, I agree. I have a theory that some of it's wired in early in life. I think it's how your autonomic nervous system gets sort of set up.
Right.
But once it's set up, that's it.
Oh, I agree. And there's just a certain amount of people that do that. And there's a certain amount of people that stink, by the way. And everyone wants to tell them to take a shower or stop eating spicy foods. They just stink. That's them. It's like getting angry at a guy who has hair on his back or angry at a guy who goes bald at 24. Sorry, Brian. You know what I'm saying? I mean, what do you do? That's him.
Right.
All right. Thank you. All right. All right. Let's see. Here's an idiot with a dumb question. Tim?
Yeah, what's up? Man.
26, what's going on?
Uh-oh. Nothing much, man. Hey, I just had a question I had to ask, man, because it just popped into my head. Why do fat girls give better head than skinny girls?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think in generally, when people are making up for a disability, mm-hmm. they'll go the extra mile.
Yeah. And this
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think
whatever it is.
There's a little bit of an urban myth here because here's the thing about women. What do you think of this, Drew? I think beautiful women perform as valiantly as unattractive women do in the sack. It's harder to get them in the sack. That's the part. We don't talk about.
Here's the other part.
Yes.
There's a corollary to that. It's harder to get them into you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They got it. There needs to be some enthusiasm there or else you're like, huh, what?
Yeah, but here's what I'm saying from my limited sexual experience. Women usually, and it's the same with men, good-looking, attractive or unattractive men, usually when people go into the bedroom, they try to perform, not necessarily for their partner, more for themselves. You know what I mean? You want this person walking away thinking, wow, this guy's a winner, or this chick's, she rocked my world, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one of those things where it's a sort of a win-win thing. You want to do your damnedest. So this person walks away thinking of you as a stud, and you walk away thinking of her as a champion sexually. Nobody wants to send anyone away going, wow, where the hell did Drew learn to F? Wally Thorpe School of Trucking? Wow, that sucked. I got to get on the internet right away. I got to warn people before they're victimized by this guy. This is a disaster. You know what I mean? Nice. Now, who do you do it for? Do you do it for you? Do you do it for them? It's just one of these win-win things. You kind of do it for both of you.
Yeah.
Huh? You disagreeing?
Maybe at the very beginning you're trying to impress. But
now
experience.
I don't care.
Yeah.
What? Now?
Who are you kidding?
No. I don't even have sex with my wife. I just tip over onto her. You know what I do? I go to the foot of the bed. I stand on the ottoman at the foot of the bed, and I just stand there until I fall asleep, and then I just fall on top of her. That's how it works.
Then what does she do?
Well, I don't know. I'm asleep. Whatever happens after that. I'm passed out. And sometimes it can take me a couple hours to fall asleep. You know? Stand there drinking a glass of red wine. Yeah, it's tough.
Think of that.
Yeah.
Imagine you lying on top of her with all that noise you make.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. Now, listen, Drew, here's what I'm saying. Attractive women, you've been with many attractive women. I don't think they're, and you've been with more than your fair share of dogs. I know that as well. They don't perform any differently. It's the difficulty of getting the hot one into the sack with you. That's the challenge. Once you get them in the sack, they perform because they have egos. Yeah, they're into it.
Also, they're into it. Yeah, they're there.
I don't mean the whole. I don't want to turn the whole thing into an ego, or you know, oh, you're going to fill out a report card and drop it in the suggestion box on the way out of the bedroom. I just mean they're there because they're into you. They want to have a good time, and they're into it too. And I would take it a step further and say that attractive people, especially hot chicks, oftentimes a little more comfortable with what they look like in the buff. Yes.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Scared
again?
Your wife's listening. All right, we're cool, buddy. Oh, no. All right.
You cool?
No, but here's the deal. Easier to get a BJ from an ugly chick than it is from a hot chick. Not better, easier. That's how it breaks down. Thank you.
All right.
Okay, Michelle, all right? That's right. All right. See what you can do to help me out, would you? All right. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah. Love line, Adam. That's Dr. Drew in Washington, D.C. All right, Drew, I did some soul searching during the break. I was talking to producer Ann and engineerist Michelle. And I really did. Pick up what I'm putting down. Would you for a second?
Dig your vibe. I'll dig your vibe.
Yeah, and I want our last white trash caller to dig on this scene, too. Super smoking hot Victoria's Secret model, right? That's
Jill.
That's one chick. Yeah, we'll call her Jill. The other chick, just local bar trash, got herself a gut and a couple of stretch marks and one eyebrow, right? All right, we'll call her either Crystal or Cammy or Tammy, okay? All right. Now, you pick up the chick, the bar chick, the chick that's just slutting around the bar. You pick her up, you buy her a couple of beers, and you bring her home to the apartment that night and have your way with her, right? Yeah. The super smoking hot model chick, you got to take on a few dates. Maybe you take her like on one of those, we're going to San Francisco for the day for lunch kind of things with a little wine tasting. You got to buy some flowers. You got
to
do her right.
By the way, that's not even going to happen to you. That's what you wish would happen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But the point is,
you're not even going to get that far.
Well, would you quiet down and stop crapping on my theory like a Pegasus for a second? What I'm saying is, if you want to get these two women in bed, here's what it's going to happen. And, you don't get to go bang Victoria's Secret models all day. I'm just saying to you, Drew, for the sake of the experiment, let's say they both end up in the sack.
Right.
You get the one you pick up, you spend 10 minutes and 10 bucks, you get her back to your apartment, and you get her in the sack, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other one takes multiple dates, a little work, some four-star dining, right? But at the end of your 2 week or 1 month courtship or fifth date or whatever it is, you end up in the sack with her too. All right. Sexually, she's just as good as the chick you scraped up from the bar, maybe better. It just took more work to get her there.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
I'm digging your vibe.
Thank you. Saying that the unattractive women are better in bed sexually is untrue. They're easier to get there. That's what it's about.
All right.
You with me or do you disagree?
I'm digging your vibe. Just profound. The profundity of the information is not.
I would take it a step farther and say the hot chick probably better in the sack. It just takes 3 weeks and $1,500 to get her there.
There you go.
Yeah. Now, my thing is, I pay the $1,500 up front. You know, here you go. Let's go tonight.
Yeah.
Yes, Drew, go ahead.
I'm just saying the really emotional part in all that, though, is that the chances of you actually converting slim, even after committing all the time and money.
Yeah, but that's not my point. The question
I know. I'm just saying.
Yeah, okay.
Saying.
Yeah, I know. You're
digging my vibe
Thomas.
Now?
I dig your negative vibe, dude.
Yeah, okay.
But here's the thing. My thing is if they're both in the sack, which one is better? And I say even the hotter chick is better. It just took more work and more money to get her that far. Thank you.
There you go.
All right, let's move forward. Ron?
Yeah.
25?
Yep. From Oklahoma, man. Hey.
All right.
Hey,
drunk?
Dr. Drew, this is a question for you.
Yeah.
My wife and I have been married for about 3 years now, and I found out about 7 months ago that she was bisexual. And she brought in a woman into the relationship, which to me that was okay. For any guys, is okay. But now, because of her being bisexual, wanting another girlfriend in our relationship, I'm having second thoughts.
What, second thoughts about your wife or
second thoughts about my wife bringing another girl in the relationship? It's like destroying, it feels like it's destroying my marriage.
Yeah, we only talk to people that get horrible consequences from this.
Well,
it's the rare couple that can do this and not eventually break up. And it sounds like in her case, I mean, it's 3 years into a marriage. And do you have kids?
Hold on. I don't think it's a second thought for Ron. I think it's a first thought. I think he had no thoughts. Then he had one about this bisexual wife he married. But I don't think saying a second thought would suggest there was a thought already in there.
That's right.
What I'm saying?
And whenever you bring another person into a relationship, you're diminishing the intimacy. You're creating the potential for chaos. There are feelings that emerge that you never anticipate. Bad times.
Well, Ron, hold on. We gotta go to break. But our guess is this wife of yours is chaotic and may have suffered some abuse and so on and so forth. We have some sagely advice to give you. Can you hang on?
Yeah, I can do that.
All right, buddy. All right. Hold on. Drink another long neck while you're waiting, but just hang on. Yeah, he's drunk. All right, we'll take a quick break. Be right back with Ron, his bisexual wife, after this. Yeah, Loveline, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew in Washington, D.C. Jen Schreft is, I guess it's Schreft, is going to be here tomorrow from the Bachelorette, Hot Blonde. Drew, what's the weather like in D.C.?
It's about 48 and kind of ice raining.
Oh, really? Nice cold rain.
Yeah.
When are you coming back?
Saturday.
Saturday?
Then they got to go on another penis surgery. They have me run. The Discovery Health has me running around. By the way, we still need people for masturbation diaries.
Yeah. Hey guys, I'm sorry, Drew. I'm gonna turn you off for a second. This sounds crazy, but just scream into your mic when I'm turning you off. All right.
Scream into it.
I'm taking my headphones off in case anything gets through. And listen, you're gonna have to coach Drew on the screaming because I guarantee his first scream
it was
gonna
good.
Be like.
It was good.
No, it was good. It was a Dickie Barrett kind of scream.
And he sounds better now, right?
I think he does.
Sound better?
It's like he blew out the pipes or something. It's very strange.
All right, Anderson, what do you know?
Nothing.
Okay. That's what I figured.
But still, the Pegasus, does he have a colostomy bag or is there a Pegasus poo bag or how does it work?
I think it's one of those bucket diaper things that they use on the horses that drag you through Central Park.
But can you fly with that thing on?
I think you can fly with the poop bag. Once it gets full, I think it's going to weigh way down the tail end of the Pegasus, and it's going to fly, you know, much like a plane looks when it's taking off, you know?
Yeah.
The tail section's going to be lower. The whole thing about the Pegasus is the wings do, you know, 95% of the work, but the legs still sort of move, too. The reason I figure the legs move too is because they would, you know, they'd film the horse trotting and then they would just, you know, green screen out the ground and put the wings on it. And so that's why the legs had to move. Because let me tell you something. If I flew, there'd be no leg movement. I'd be dragging. I would look like a cripple that was lifted out of his chair and lowered into a pool. You know what I mean? I would just be dangling there. There'd be no leg movement. Just dangling and dangling and defecating. That would be me if I could
all
fly.
All D's.
Dangling and defecating. All right. Now, where were we? We were talking to Ron. Ron,
it seems like we keep bringing up Jill every night, but all right, every call.
Ron has a bisexual wife, Ron.
Yeah.
Been married for a few years?
Yeah, about 3 years.
Yeah. Ugh. So what are you going to, here's the thing, does she have any history of abuse?
She does. I mean, it's from her mother mainly. What happened was that her mom locked, I don't know how her mom done it, but locked her and her sister in a bathroom for 3 days until the grandparents found them in there.
Yeah, that's
three
bad.
3 days?
That's bad. That is bad.
Now, forget the
trauma of that episode. That was her mom. That's the kind of person she's dealing with.
And the sad part of this is because we're in so much hot water with DHS here in Oklahoma, it's, you know, because the county that I live in has been wanting my kids for the longest time. And when I found out about it, I had Amber's stepdad come and get both of the kids. So they both, which is her mom and her stepdad, has custody of my kids. And every day we worry about, you know, our child's safety. But, you know, the judge.
What are you going to do?
Well, we're trying to get the money to get the attorney so we can have this all turned around.
Well, wait a minute. Your wife is the one they're trying to get him away from.
Sure, the kids will be
she's
fine.
She's the one that's endangering them. I mean, she had all that horrible abuse, and now she does not.
Well, when we had the kids with us, I mean, there was no signs of abuse whatsoever.
Then why did the DHS want them back?
Well, because what I believe in and what I do, they said that my kids do not need to grow up in that environment.
What do you believe in?
Hold on.
I'm going out on a limb here. I'm gonna guess.
Oh, here we go.
Definitely a Jew. Was definitely. I mean, come on. He's from Oklahoma. His wife wants a threesome. His kids were taken away by Child Protective Services. I mean, this has Jew written all over it. His old lady's named Amber. I mean, come on. I'm gonna guess that he's either a. I'm gonna guess that he's a certified. What's it called when the guy he's a notary public? That's what I'm going with.
Okay,
I'm guessing he's a notary public. What do you think he does, Drew?
Can you hear me? I think he. He said he's Wiccan. He's in
he
the
said
clergy.
Did he say Wiccan?
I think he said that the Child Protective Services didn't want them reared around the things he believed in and the kind of environment they were maintaining. What do you believe in? He said, I'm Wiccan.
What's DHS?
Department
Services?
Health Services, yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Let's see. Yeah. Department of Human Services. What are you into, Ron?
I'm in Wicca. That's what I believe in, and I believe in, like, nature, the goddess, and, you know, stuff like that, you know, like any other Wiccans would believe in, you know?
Sure.
And, I mean, it's just, like, but on the subject about my wife, though, like, 5 months ago, I gave her an ultimatum. I said, all right, you can go with a girl, but I'm getting divorced. If you don't want to get a divorce, then stay with me and be with me for the rest of, eternal life. But yet she still pops up wanting to bring a girl in the relationship, And I've been telling her, hey, remember that ultimatum I gave you a while back, you know?
Hey, us.
Woo.
Hey, it's like,
Ryan.
Because the kids and her, I feel like her marriage is going nowhere.
Ron, how many kids do you have?
I have two.
Okay. Please, could you two tards not crap out any more kids for the sake of humanity? Please?
I can't have any more.
Fantabulous. That is the best news I've heard all night.
Beat parents and settle down with the chaos.
And you're giving the kids where you gave them to her mother, the one that locked her in the bathroom for 3 days?
We had no choice.
Sure. Well, yeah, you had a choice. You could have been decent goddamn parents in the first place, you idiots.
We were. I mean,
yeah. You guys were perfect. You're so perfect that Child Protective Services were coming to collect your kids.
No one's perfect in life.
Yeah, you're a million miles away from using the word perfect. Okay? Perfect is a parent that doesn't send her kid to the greatest private school. You're a million miles away from perfect. You shouldn't use perfect when you're talking about rearing your kids. You have a choice between crap and crappier when it comes to rearing your kids. Be honest with yourself, Ron. Please. Nobody's perfect.
Well, DHS is after my kids all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Were you delusional?
Oh, I'm not delusional. I mean, I'm telling you up front what's going on and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, you made it. Yeah, you act like what you did is the DHS got some spy photos of your kid using the dinner fork to eat his salad. Who are you, Heloise? You're horrible parents, the two of you idiots. That's why you had to give the way the kids to the abusive mom.
I mean, there's more to it than what it means.
No doubt.
Oh, I'm sure. But please don't use the word perfect.
Oh, I'm not
parents.
Using the word perfect. I mean, I'm not saying I'm a good father at all. I mean, you know.
Now we're getting a little closer
to
the truth.
Hell, man, for the past, 2 years, I've been like, excuse my language.
All right, hold on a second.
I knew the S-bomb was coming. I knew it.
Well, I can't believe, first off, that's a record for not hearing the S-bomb.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I love people's just this sort of wild delusion. Like, I don't mind an F-up who realizes he's an F-up. It's the one that's in such deep denial, the ones that are just steeped in denial, like, well, you know, I'm not saying I'm perfect. Everyone's entitled to make a mistake. Like, they give you things that are very reasonable. Like, don't you believe that people should get a second chance? Yeah, people should get a second chance if they get a DUI when they're 17. If they kill their family with a steak knife,
I don't
believe in second chances.
Yeah.
They try to corner you into this stuff like, well, now are you perfect? I'm not. Was your fan? Is Dr. Is, no, no one's perfect. Your kids are in danger of being taken away by the state.
But, you know, that's even more than denial. That's a total lack of judgment where you can't really see the difference between what you're doing and what a perfect parent is doing. It's just a small distance.
Well, he didn't claim to be perfect. You know, none of us are perfect. You understand?
I got that.
Yeah, yeah. He's just into drinking and wicking, and he's got a swinging wife, and, you know, it's fantastic. Not perfect for the children.
Mind you.
Please. Ron.
Yeah.
All right, so what do you do for a living?
I was working on construction.
All right, perfect. That is the perfect part. So here's the thing. Now the kids are being raised by the abusive woman who abused your who made basically your wife into the mess that she is today.
Right.
Yeah, and this is how life works. People like your wife crap out kids, and then people like you and your crappy wife attempt to raise these kids, and then it's up to us as a society to band together, pool our finances, and contain everybody. Mm-hmm. Build prisons, open rehabs, get welfare and food stamps. We all have to get together to clean up the mess known as your life. Now, what you can do, Ron, is drop your retarded Wiccan crap, get a job, fight to keep it, tell your bitchy wife to settle down and get some therapy, not crap out any more kids, get these kids back, and start focusing on doing the right thing. And if you don't know what to do, watch TV.
Or get some help.
Okay?
Social services is lining up to get into your house.
Yeah, and don't tell me you don't know what to do. Social services doesn't like you praying to someone with a pointy hat and it's stirring a cauldron all day with eye of newt in it. Then knock it off. Would you drop your retarded belief and raise your stupid kids? Stop being so selfish. How about that? Social service doesn't like, they don't like your lifestyle. Why don't you drop your lifestyle then? Why don't you drop that stupid religion, put on a comb your hair, shave your 3-day-old beard, put that beer down, and get a good gig and raise your family like a man? What do you have to say to that?
That's a well point, but, you know.
What?
I thought it was a well put point, but, you know.
Thank you.
Hey, yeah, you're welcome.
All right. Obviously, the kids should just stay where they are then.
Yeah.
They're raised by the grandfather more than they are with grandmother because grandmother runs off and, you know, messes around with another guy behind her husband's back.
All right. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Hey. Ron, it must be great to know that there's actually a handful of people that are worse people than you are out there. That's fantastic.
Circle of life continues, too.
Yeah, it's great. It's like, hey, I'm the world's worst dad. But here someone is even marginally worse than me. They can raise the kids, and then I can judge them.
I mean, don't get me wrong. The grandfather has tried everything he could in his powers to.
All right, Ron. Look, here's the fact. You can't have any more kids. That's fine. Hopefully your kids will just go gay and won't reproduce. The chick will become a stripper. Hopefully the guy will just get caught early and thrown into jail, and then we'll be, sort of dodge a bullet. You do what you want. Sleep like a baby, brother. Have that threesome. Live it up. Why not? Your kids are gone.
Okay. I have tried that once. I did not like it. Any man that says, thinks I am a liar on that part. No, I do not like threesomes whatsoever.
You can't call yourself a man anymore, Ron. You have two kids that you're not raising. That's not a man. You're not a man. You're just someone who takes up air, takes up space, and craps in the ocean. Oh. Just go eat something, would you? And just settle in, crack another beer. Just do whatever you got to do to get by. Go ask your Wiccan goddess about not raising your kids. Go find that one. Find the passage in that Wiccan cookbook you got over there that says it's okay not to raise your family. And then read that. You'll feel better, all right? But whatever you do, Ron, whatever you do, don't change. That's the important thing. What you got going right now, that's perfect. You have two kids who've been taken away from you. You have a crazy half-lesbian wife and a crappy dead-end job. Don't change, brother. That's my point. Don't change one iota and never stop blaming everyone but yourself. All right, Ron? Promise me you'll do that.
All right.
All right. Thank you, brother. That's all I can hope for. That's all you want out of life, isn't it, Drew? Okay. And here's the thing, too. I don't blame guys like Ron. Ron's an idiot. Ron, I'm sure, grew up with, a possum for a mom and a cider jug for a dad. Ron is dumb as the day is long. And he hooks up, miraculously enough, with a woman who's a victim of abuse and I'm sure is as dumb as a mop handle, and then cranks out a couple of kids, and we can let the cycle of abuse begin all over again. I'm not mad at Ron. What are you going to do? That's society is full of Rons. What about the government? What about the people in power? Are they not interested in this topic at all? Are they not interested in what's going to happen to these two kids? They don't realize the impact socially and financially that these kids are going to have. They don't realize that it's Ron's son that's going to end up putting a knife in their son, that it's Ron's daughter that's going to end up crapping out more kids that are raised in an abusive environment. They don't realize that this is all our problems, that every goddamn problem they complain about, and it's always the same thing. And whatever it is, every problem, it's like, hey, listen, don't if you want to kill yourself, don't park your car on the commuter train tracks. That's his son. Hey, when you're changing your car oil, don't just unscrew the pan bolt and dump it into the drain there. It ends up into the sewer. It ends up in the ocean. Who do you think that is?
Yeah.
Methamphetamines, not the road to success. Hey, we need this work camp. We need juvenile detention centers. We need prisons. We need rehabs. We need food stamps. We need welfare. Who's all these people? Drew's kids? Is that where it's going? Hey, you better lock your door at night. Why? Because one of Drew's kids is out on a rampage. Hey, you better you don't leave your purse on your car seat. No, they'll bust the window and take that. Who's that? Drew's kids? Who's going to do that? Who's going to do it? Who?
Yeah.
Of course. Of course this is who's going to do it. Of course. It's not their fault now. They're four. They're victims. It will be their fault in about 10, 12 years, and we'll lock them up. And they'll hopefully spit out a few kids before they go in the joint. And we spend a few million bucks processing them as they go in and out. Parole officers, stenographers, judges, court-appointed attorneys, the whole system, even the building it takes place in. Mm-hmm. Think about it, everybody. Mm-hmm. Nobody's interested. Bush got a plan for social welfare reform. He's got a plan. He's got a plan for Social Security reform. He's got some ideas on some tariffs and some taxes. It's never this. It's never this. It's everything but this. And then every once in a while, they shout out some ism like "No child should be left behind." What does that mean?
Right.
Wait, left behind? What do you mean? No, these kids shouldn't have been born. These victims shouldn't be mating. Of course, that's what every problem goes back to. Please. Once in a while, you get some, Jewish publicist that has a few too many cosmopolitans and hops her SUV on the curb and runs over a few people. That is few and far between. It's the Rons of the world we got to focus on, and it's their offspring. How come no one brings it up? How come no one wants to do anything about it?
It's weird, isn't it?
It's like the silence is deafening. It's bizarre that it never gets brought up.
Yeah.
Politicians don't even sort of allude to it. It's just sort of, we need better kids. We need better schools. We need welfare reform. Nobody. And they do this. They work on the part that's, of course, BS. No child should be left behind. These ones are locked in their bathroom. How are you going to find them? What do you mean left behind? They're not out of the house. Right. They're drinking toilet water and eating Crest. Which still tastes better than those little hearts, Drew.
They we're do, talking I'm about. Sure.
Yeah, the little Valentine's hearts with the little things on it that you can't read. Yeah, but the point, I didn't mean to disturb you, Drew, by bringing up that kind of imagery. The point is, what do you mean they're not going to be left behind? Of course they're going to be left behind. There's going to be millions of kids left behind. Yeah, and I know as a politician, you do that BS where you go, no child should. Yeah, none of them should. It's just most of them are, and you're not going to do anything about it. And obviously, there's not enough schools, there's not enough prisons, there's not enough counselors to ever address this problem. The only way it can be addressed is let's have the tards quit spitting out the tards. Nobody wants to talk about that. Oh, no. Now, we got to get a little tsunami relief going, and then we want to talk about gay marriage until everyone's blue in the face. What about gay marriage? Yeah, that's important. Drew, that gay marriage, it really affects you, doesn't it?
Huge.
Huge. Huge. Yeah. Forget about Ron coming in through your kitchen window, hopped up on speed looking to grab something. That doesn't affect you, but the gay marriage, paramount. Yeah. That's huge. Oh, my God. Talk about impact. Woo! Yeah. That's huge.
It's something I'm deeply concerned about, too. You know what I mean?
I
care very much which way it goes.
Yes, we should talk about gay marriage and then physician-assisted suicide. That's another big one. Yes. Yeah. We'll talk about all that stuff.
These things take much debate because they're all slippery slopes.
Very, very slippery and very impactful. Yeah, we should all talk about that until we're blue in the face, but no one will ever talk about what the real problem is, which is these kids. All right. Yeah. Feeling good, everybody?
Yeah.
All right. Ron was a delight.
I know.
What a delight. And those
kids.
We
spent 20 minutes on him.
When do we start hating his kids?
I don't know.
You can't hate them now. They're, four and five.
They're abuse survivors now.
Yeah, but soon. Soon they go from victim to victimizer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what do you think, conservative estimate on what Ron's kids run us? Million and a half each?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
In and out of the joint, cranking out kids, welfare. Hey, I bet Ron's son cranks out a few kids with a few different ladies, too. Mm, how about that?
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Ship off the old block.
Awesome. All right, let's go to Canada, everybody. Take a quick break. Be right back after this. Yeah, buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew in Washington, D.C. tonight.
Yep.
Yeah?
Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
Phone number. It's good radio, Drew. Hmm? Phone number, 1-800-LOVE-191-er. Jen Shefton here tomorrow night. She is the Bachelorette. And let's just shift gears here. Tonight. Everyone who calls this show and gets on the air, who's 18 years of age or over, gets themselves a Saw DVD. Danny Glover, Carrie Elwes, fantastically scary DVD. And we will not only give you that DVD, we will be entered to qualify for a trip to England. Derbyshire. Nice. Derbyshire, England. Where you get to go to a big heavy metal concert called Bloodstock. And Yeah, you get that Saw out on DVD. That's February 15th is when it comes out on DVD. What is that, middle of next week? Early Tuesday of next week. That's when it comes out. All right, Drew?
Yeah.
All right, you ready to go?
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk to, uh-oh, poor Lacey. You know, we were going to take her for like the second call of the night. And I said I didn't want to talk to her.
Uh-oh.
Now she's been on hold for 107 minutes.
Oh, Adam, yeah. You're cruel. Brutal.
I'm going to blame that on you. Lacey?
Yeah?
Hey, it's Adam.
Hello.
Yeah, sorry about, you know, what Drew did. But you're 19. Go ahead.
Yeah, for about a year, I've been having pain in my ovary, I suspect. Mm-hmm. And I've had ultrasounds and doctors and nothing.
Well, it's not your ovary. There's nothing going on with your ovary, right?
I guess. I'm not sure.
Where's the pain?
It's like directly. I mean, I could feel it.
Where?
Where's the pain? Where's the pain? I can feel it.
Mm-hmm. It's directly where I can feel it.
Wow. Well, now that we know exactly where the pain is.
It's in my stomach, like where it is, because I've had a baby and everything, so.
Hmm. All right.
I know where all the stuff is.
You know where the stuff is.
Yeah.
But where, describe to me, just so I understand what you're talking about.
On the lower left.
All right, there's a lot of other things there on the lower left side besides your ovaries. Yes, you got colon and sigmoid colon. You can get diverticuli and sort of constipation. Mm-hmm. All kinds of things cause discomfort down there. Your tubes are down there, too. They can get inflamed and infected. The uterus, there can be endometriosis. A lot of different things. So, okay, so you have some pain there that needs to be further worked up. It's something you should be worried about.
Okay, it's like a stabbing pain. Like, it's been going on all day. It almost makes me fall over. Like, I was at work and it almost
made me. At what point in the cycle are you here?
I actually haven't had a period since May because of death.
All right, so you need to finish the work up here. You need to figure out what's going on. The bigger issue is why you're not having the period.
I'm on deco.
That's why you're not having the period.
Where's how old's your youngin?
She is almost two.
Almost two, wow. Yeah. Pregnant, like 16, 17. What about any dad around?
Yeah, not right now, but yeah. He's,
sure. Yeah. Where's he at?
He's at work.
Oh, he's at work. All right.
Sure. Yeah.
He works at night, and you work during the day.
Yeah.
All right.
Who takes care of the kid?
I'm going to daycare. She's going to.
Okay. And you guys going to get married?
I don't know.
Yeah, Adam, that's a commitment. How dare you? A child's one thing, but marriage, that's a commitment.
He doesn't get along that well, so. Yeah. Here's the whole thing. I don't know any 19-year-old couple who... Okay, here's what I want to say. So you got to go to the doctor.
Yeah. Well, you need to keep going. And it probably needs to get off that Depro and get on something else. You're
19...
not supposed to be on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
You're not supposed to be on that more than 5 years anyway.
19-year-old... She's 19. Has she been on it since 14?
Probably been on it since her pregnancy.
All right. Well, that might be two years or so. She wouldn't have gotten on it until after she gave birth, right?
Right. No, right. All right. About 2 years, but you want to, you know, save it.
Okay. Oh, you mean all you get is 5 years total?
Yep.
So if I was on Depo, you know, 6 months here, and then a year later I was on it for 6 months again, that would add up to a year?
They're just saying not more than 5 years.
Combined.
They've not been explicit about whether continuous or combined, but they're just saying 5 years now.
Seems weird, though. Seems I know I'm hanging on this, but I mean,
it does seem like it'd be worse. It's worse continuously, but it's about cumulative bone loss is the problem, that's you know, it's a time issue.
Here's the here's the thing with 19-year-olds and kids and relationships. 19-year-old couples don't really get along that well after about 6 months, anyway.
Yeah.
It's just the nature of being 19. And that's 19 if you're both in college and you got money and you're tailgating and things are cool and all you have to do, your first class is at noon. Even those couples don't get along that well. She's living a sorority. He's in a fraternity. Those couples don't get along that well. You take 19-year-old couples, now you put a kid into the mix. Someone's got to work a graveyard shift. Someone's got to work the early morning shift. You're living together in a crappy apartment. How long before you guys don't get along so well?
11 minutes.
Yeah, That's outside. It's more like 9 minutes.
Yeah.
That's why you can't crap out kids when you're 17. You can't take that kind of stress. You're not built for it. And,
by the way, don't think that we're talking about some other people. We would be in that same soup.
Absolutely.
You and I.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you, a human at 19, including ourselves, not meant for it.
No, no. And I'm gifted. I'm special.
We are
okay?
Genius.
Literally. Oh, no, wait a minute. Yes, I'm a genius who's now literally a millionaire. And even I couldn't take the rigors of this test. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. And here's the other thing, too. Here's another reason why you argue a lot at 19 and you're miserable. Drew, the difference between, could you imagine you and your wife and your triplets and you're all living in a small, crappy apartment and the kids are all sharing the same room and you have no space and you don't have your own office or anything and there's one TV and there's one DVD player, and if you want to watch something at night, too bad, because the kids want to watch something else and the old lady wants to watch something else, and there's no money and you're eating macaroni and cheese and the old lady's freaking out on you because the electric bill didn't get paid in time and now you got to go pay it in person. You can't send it in. They've sent a note. They're going to shut the thing. That's where they are. I mean, how miserable would you be?
Yeah,
how
that's
much
where the,
would
that's
you be
the
arguing?
Abuse. Yeah, the argument and the abuse, that's where it all starts.
Yes, you need money, you need space, you need room, you need money to pay for the kids' braces, you need room as a guy, you got to go upstairs, you have to have your own spankatorium upstairs. You need that. Am I right?
Okay. Yeah, you need it.
All right, let's talk to Dustin from Woodland Hills, 24. Dustin,
Adam,
been on hold for 2 minutes, but you disagree with me, so I put you on
good. Immediately. Awesome. Well, I just had to say I had to call, and I heard your conversation with Ron, the Wiccan, mm-hmm. which you know he's not going to win any Parent of the Year awards anytime soon, I'm sure.
No.
But the reason I had a little problem with you is because I always agree with you most of the time. I think 99%. This is probably the first time I've ever gone, oh, my God, I can't believe Adam said that. Mm-hmm. And my problem was that you kind of chastised him for being a Wiccan. And
yes, I
just think that I'm not a Wiccan myself, but freedom
well,
of religion
is because you're not
fat
and you're not a lesbian.
No,
go ahead. That's how I knew.
Either.
That's how I knew you weren't a Wiccan. You're male, you weren't obese, and you weren't a chick.
Well,
you weren't a lesbian.
That's where my problem lies, is that the reason I kind of felt strongly about that was because I've met a few Wiccans in my day. Didn't know they were Wiccans when I met them. And when I found out, I was caught in my own little kind of dilemma, like, of judging and thinking, what's wrong with these people? So I've, done some reading and kind of found out it's not like a horrible, riding on broomstick kind of religion.
No, I know. Whenever the Wiccan religion is described to me, it's about the earth, it's about taking care of the earth. It's called recycling. If you make recycling into a religion, it would be the Wiccan religion. I don't care anything about anyone. Look, here's the thing. People that born again Christians are nuts. Hasidic Jews are nuts. The Muslims are nuts. They're all idiots. I mean, let's face it.
I feel a lot better now that you've cleared that up.
Oh, well, of course. They're all just weak idiots who are into this
one religious faith.
No, look, I yelled at Ron because. Okay, here's what's going on. First off, the Child Protective Services weren't coming down on him because of his religion.
Right.
They were coming down on him because he had a family of possum living in a fold-out sofa in
right.
the trailer that they lived in with the kids. And the kids were eating top ramen for breakfast, lunch, and dinner and bathing in a horse trough in the back. That's why they're coming down on him. Obviously, if Child Protective Services took kids away for every time somebody had a religious belief, they'd be sued right out of existence.
Yes, right. Exactly.
But I think what you're saying, though, also is that when religious orientations, which I guarantee you are not endorsed by any kind of organized operation, begin to interfere with the functioning of the family and create dangerous environments for people and unhealthy environments, then cut it out.
I knew that wasn't what was going on, but I didn't want to argue with Ron because all these people, first thing stupid people do is they do anything not to change. So their whole thing is like, my boss fired me. Well, why did he fire me? No reason. What do you mean no reason? He's got it out for me. Like, you hear these stories, you just realize this is an idiot. Obviously, you did something wrong. I do the work of five guys, and he fired me because he's jealous. Like, yeah, that's what he does. That's how he runs a business. He gets a guy who does the work of five people, and then he S-cans him. All good CEOs do this, by the way. It's all Fortune 500 companies run the same way. Now, of course, they weren't doing it because idiot Ron was into the Wiccan religion. I knew that. I wasn't going to be able to talk him out of it, and that's why I yelled at him. If that's why your kids can't come into your house, then why don't you drop it, prioritize, and focus on your kids?
Right.
Put your Wiccan religion aside, even though I knew that's why it wasn't the reason. Put it aside and focus on your kids for 10 minutes. That's all. All right, Dustin. And listen, you know, people get offended with my religious talk. I'm offended with your retarded religious talk. Who cares? And should we? I'm done having respect with everybody and their stupid ideas. Just shut up, everybody. Put your crosses in your shirts. Take your yarmulkes off. Put them in your ass. And just shut up. Tired of hearing about your stupid fairy tales. Please, you're ruining the world. Of course. All right, where are we, Drew? I'm angry now.
Okay, you got his steam.
Yeah, Dustin over here, the Wiccan man. He's Dustin, upset. Are you good now?
I'm very good. Can I just thank Drew for something really quick?
Go ahead.
Drew, I want to just thank you for how pro 12-step fellowship you are, and I think you do a great service to your listeners.
Well, appreciate that.
All right, everybody. Here's the deal. Here's your religion. Get a job, fight to keep it. Don't screw with anybody, and then leave your retarded beliefs at home when you go to work, would you? All right. Hey, but Drew.
Hey.
You know how you know there's a God.
How's that?
Who could have created all this?
That's right.
Who could have created Ron?
The rational plan here.
Yeah. I always love that one. Like, I don't know. I don't see any existence of God. Oh, yeah? Who put the universe there? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Oh, and the ocean. How do you think that got there, smarty pants, if someone didn't put it there? Yeah. Now it's all making sense, right, Drew?
Of course.
Yeah, he couldn't have got Mount Fuji there without someone sticking it there.
You know, really? There was a philosopher in the 17th century, 18th century, who said, well, if it's an infinitely powerful and infinitely perfect God, how do you know it isn't just some wayward God that was a reject, and this was his reject universe?
Could have been.
This is just somebody, this is a big mistake he made.
Earth could have been some crappy outpost he was assigned to because he was punished for being such an F-up in the deity world. Yes, Drew?
Yes.
All right, but anyway, we're all his creatures. He's got a plan for everybody. And again, how could the ocean have gotten there or the solar system been put there if not for somebody putting it there? All makes sense, especially if you're a scientist. Yes?
Of course.
Yeah, had to be put there. All right. Well, a guy put it there, obviously.
Yeah, an intelligent being.
He set everything up. Yeah. He's the guy who, put the rings around Saturn and made the moon out of cheese. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, yo, Loveline, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew out in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Ugh. What?
Got up early this morning.
Oh, yeah?
Nothing more painful, by the way.
Yeah.
Is there?
Yeah, you're right. And it stays with you all day, too. It's the gift that keeps on giving. One of the many.
Yeah, I mean, there's toothaches and headaches and stuff like that. But just in general, in terms of things you don't want to do, in terms of things you haven't really gotten past. Yeah. I mean, think about all those things, Drew. You've used to loathe these things, but now you've adjusted, you've overcome, you've got a little therapy, you're better now. You're all right, but getting up really early still sucks no matter what.
That's true. It does.
And, yeah, that's what happened. You know, I went to bed at like 2 o'clock. I got up at like 7 this morning, and Now my eyes hurt the whole day.
Right. Yeah.
Here's the deal. Your eyes hurt. Your head has a little bit of ringing in it. You're about 80% effective. You're just miserable.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's like somebody just put a seed in your shoe and you just sort of walked around all day feeling it. Like, yeah. You could still work and stuff, but it's not going to be a good day.
Right.
And all you want to do is get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
All right. Should he spank his kids? Yes. Let's talk. Someone's been on hold for 65 minutes. Kelly?
Hey, how are you?
17. What's going on? I like you immediately.
Really? Why is that?
Because you're lucid and you're like, hey, how are you? How you doing?
Well, I like that. You had a busy night, so it's a little bad for you guys. I'm dealing with Ron and Wiccan and things like that.
So difficult. What's up?
I've noticed that I've started to bleed a little bit after sex or after I masturbate, and mm-hmm. It's not a lot of blood, but it is noticeable, and I was wondering if you knew anything, what was up with
Are
that?
You on the pill?
Yes, I am.
That's a common thing when people are on the pill.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, so it's not...
No, it doesn't mean anything. You've been on it a long time?
Yeah, I have.
And you didn't used to get this?
No, it's always happened, ever since the first time. I mean, I thought it was normal the first couple of times, obviously, but, you know, it's been 2 years, so...
2 years that you've been on the pill and having the bleeding.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. It basically means you have some unstable lining of the uterus, and the birth control pill is a good way to get that. And some women, even when they're not on the pill, will get this just with sex and or sexual activity.
Mm. When do you the pill so long? 15? Hold on. 15, you have a boyfriend?
No, not right now.
Mm. But 2 years on the pill?
Yes.
How come?
Off and on relationships, it helps stabilize my period, things like that.
Hmm. Yeah. All right, sweetie P. You going to college?
Yes, definitely.
Where? Yeah.
Well, I'm looking up in San Francisco at the California Institute of Culinary Arts.
Oh. Nice. That's good. Get up there and rattle them pots and pans. I believe all broads should go to cooking school.
Mm.
That's me. Cooking and sewing school.
I hear Michelle laughing in the background there.
Well... She's with me, that's why. Listen, I got to tell you, I've had an ass full of women. Here's the thing. Women decided like 30 years ago it was passé for them to learn how to cook or sew or do any of these domestic things. That would be fine if they put something in its place, like making a ton of money or something. They never replaced it with anything. They just announced. It's like a farmer going, you know, oh, we were agrarian culture and... Is that right, Drew?
Agrarian.
Yeah. And we're coming out of the fields now, and we're moving into the house to watch TV. No. You got to go into the office. That's where you got to go. Like, women are like, ah, no more of this cooking. No more of this sewing. Yeah. Yeah, no. No more. Yeah, but you got to do something else, right? No. Just no more cooking and sewing. That's what my wife said. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, but... But now you got to do something else, though, right? No.
She worked. Come on.
Oh, please. How dare you? Somebody got her cooking classes. I was like, oh, thank Christ you got cooking classes. And then she announced me the other night. I say to her, like, every couple weeks, how about that cooking class? You going to take that cooking class? And she goes, no, but I'm seriously considering taking a hip-hop class. Yeah, that's a lot of good that's going to do me. I have to buy you shoes.
That's good.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. It's awesome. All right. What were you yapping about, Drew?
About what? I don't know.
What were you talking about?
When?
Cooking? Sewing?
Yeah.
All right. Where are we? I'm going down here. Someone's been on hold for 61 minutes. Let's see. Wait a minute. I screwed that up. Hold on. Susie?
Hello.
You're 23?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, Dr. Drew, a couple weeks ago, you made a comment to somebody who endured many years of abuse, and she was in a stable relationship. You made a comment to her that a lot of times when you find the right person, it can cause you to shut down if it interacts with things that happened in your past.
It's not quite it yet, but keep going.
I'm sorry. It was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
It just started making me think about things in my past, and I'm wondering if I should pursue therapy for them, and I'm not really sure how to do so.
If you were a trauma survivor, it affects mm-hmm. how your brain is configured. And it will affect how you experience relationships, how you maintain relationships, yeah. how you grow and develop and regulate. And there's absolutely no reason in the world that you shouldn't have that treated if it's affecting you. It just doesn't make any sense to me. It's so bizarre in our culture. If you'd broken your leg when you were a kid and you needed a few years of physical therapy, you'd get it.
Yeah.
You'd be running on it. And by the way, people would be applauding your great commitment that you go out and work out every day on your leg and you make sure that you're going to overcome that problem and you're going to get back up on skis again and whatever. And the same thing is true with our brain. And somehow because it's our brain, no. Sorry, we'll have none of that.
What would Bush do?
He'd go to 12-step meetings, and that's yeah. good.
Yeah. Yeah, what would Dr. Phil tell you to do?
Oh, he'd say just decide to change. You just got to decide to change.
You got to get up. You got to dust yourself off. You got to take a long look in the mirror, and you got to decide to change. I can't change for you. And all the people wishing you change around you aren't going to make you change. There's only one person that can change Susie's life, and that person's name is Susie. Oh, really? Idiots. What is that? Who decided it was okay to just be, just everyone's just a big ass blowhard now? Yeah. Like, please. You want to yeah. lose weight? You're going to have to burn more calories than you.
Yeah, the fact is, once you do decide you want to change, that's great. Now you got to go do the work and get the yeah. help. That's just the moment of change is the moment where you decide to start getting better. Now spend the next few years getting better.
Go ahead,
and
Susie.
It takes some time. But a general therapist will be able to help you with this. Just somebody well-trained, somebody with a PhD or a PsyD or an LCSW. What state are you calling from?
She's in Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon. You probably want a PsyD or a PhD.
You want to lose weight. Now, I can't exercise for you. Okay?
Really? Phil, you can't?
Hold on. Slow down. Because I was led to believe that you could exercise for me. But only on the treadmill, not the stair stepper. That's not correct. No.
Right. That's right.
No, I'm not going to be there to get you out of bed every morning and tell you to jog. I'm not going to be there when you have to decide whether to have that second piece of pie or to have a piece of fruit for dessert. Slow down. Not going to be in my bedroom in the morning. Did you say can exercise for me? I'm confused. All right. Let's take a break. We'll be right back after this. Well, that's the show. Jen Shep in here tomorrow night. She is the Bachelorette. Good-looking blonde, Drew. Too bad you're going to miss her. Yeah, that's your wheelhouse, brother. Mm. Well, it'll be all me and Jen making sweet, sweet music in here in a mere 22 hours. Ooh. So, Drew, try not to talk.
All right.
Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Would you quiet down and stop cramping on my theory like a Pegasus?
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.